Welcome to the Faith Driven Entrepreneur Podcast. If you're an entrepreneur and you're driven by your faith or want to be driven by your faith, then you're in the right place. This is a podcast brought to you by Faith Driven Entrepreneur. You can check us out at faithdrivenentrepreneur.org. This podcast doesn't exist without you, our community. Please send us any questions, any thoughts you have about how this podcast might better serve you, and any thoughts about or questions on being a faith-driven entrepreneur.
Rusty, Henry, so great to be back with you guys. Always a pleasure. Really excited to dig into what is driving the entrepreneurs around the world. And we've gotten some great questions in. I've seen a real uptick in people coming in and seeking wisdom. So we're going to try our best to have a little of that here. Our first question today comes in from Marty from San Francisco. And he asks, what does evangelism look like within a work context? So he references, you know, Matthew 28 and the Great Commission and says, you know, we're all called to make disciples. You know, I know that as a Christian, but how does that look at my office? And especially, you know, as someone that's a leader in his company, what are the different ways you can go about that? And what are maybe some lessons learned and some trial and error that you might have experienced along the way?
That's a great question. And I don't know Marty, but I get the sense that Marty is asking the question from the place of, I'm a believer, but those around me in my organization or in the broader community of where I work aren't all believers.
And how do I express evangelism in that context? So I think it's tricky. I think you've heard me say before, and you know, I'll say it many other times about the idea of wearing our Under Armour in the workplace, and especially depending upon what part of the world you might be located in. Sometimes things are easier and freer to speak about or to act out. But I will say that regardless of where you are, one way that you can certainly evangelize to your workforce, your customers, your partners, your shareholders, is by being explicit about your values and principles. You know, I can walk into a workplace, and within minutes, I can get a sense and feel of what the culture is like. First and foremost, by whether or not I see explicit values and principles displayed someplace prominently in the office. And you'd be surprised how many companies miss that opportunity, because those values and principles, which, you know, most of us, whether we say it explicitly or not, our values and principles, people will recognize as biblical values and principles. And by stating these, you know, it's not about putting a Bible verse next to it. Just by stating these different things, I do it all the time when I speak. You know, I reference things like, you know, when people ask me about what part of your success is, I always believed in going the extra mile. And, you know, that those are words that people know where that came from. And so, you know, I think that, you know, it starts by being explicit values and principles. And then certainly in a more open environment, and maybe Henry, you can talk about this from your bandwidth experience. You know, you can drill down into that much more. So I'll stop there and let Henry talk about bandwidth.
Yeah, thanks. Three things come to mind, maybe four things come to mind about evangelism in the workplace. So we've talked about this a little bit, I think, in the culture podcast, but so much of our ability to share the reason for the hope we have with gentleness and respect, which is one of my favorite passages when it has to do with evangelism. Of course, Matthew, you know, the Great Commission is another good one, but I really focus on the reason for the hope you have with gentleness and respect. And that comes to me as a great motivation for evangelism in the workplace. And here's how it manifests itself at Bandwidth. And sometimes we did well with it, and sometimes we didn't do well with it. The first thing that I think that was really foundational for us was to be able to always talk about why we do what we do and how the company got started. And we were really intentional about corporate culture, and we wanted to talk about the fact that we were about faith first, then family, then work, and then fitness. And we'd share those foundational values about why we work and what the original culture was that continues to this day. So that's one part. Why do we do what we do? Lots of great leadership lessons from super people about why it's very important to be articulate with why. But early on, we made a mistake, actually. We tried to say, you know, gosh, we really want to be salt and light in the workplace. We'd love to be able to use our position to be able to love on people so well that they come to know God and the gift that's been given them. And we started Bible studies and thinking that there are a number of seekers within the workplace and we'd have this opportunity to process and open God's Word together. Opening God's Word was definitely a part of David and my individual life, and we'd pray a lot together. But we wanted to include other people in that might be thirsty for that. And so we set up Bible studies, and we did them, I think it was every Tuesday morning. And that did not go well. It just was poorly executed. Maybe by us. And I've heard some other organizations, some other companies where that has worked well. But I think it's challenging. And it was definitely challenging in our situation. It created an us versus them culture. And after doing it for 3 or 4 months, there is this feeling in the office that if you really want to be in Henry and David's good graces, you probably should show up to that Bible study. And that was not good. That was almost kind of a Rice type of evangelism. There was when the early missionaries would go to Asia, they'd give rice to people who professed faith. Or so the story goes. And so people said, yes, I believe in Christianity so I could get rice, or I believe in Christianity so I can get the
eat or not. Right. Yeah. All right.
That's right. Yeah. I can make that decision. That's easy for me. And so that wasn't helpful. And then for 7 or 8 years, we didn't do anything about it other than things like pray at Christmas parties and pray at the employee picnic, and so that people can understand that faith was an important part of our lives. And hopefully through excellence, people would say, that's something I want some of. But we weren't very, because of that early experience, we weren't very purposeful about it. But then we did two things, finally. Number one, started praying with non-believing employees. And it happened one day when a guy came into my office and said, look, boss, I'm going to be late for work on Thursday morning. I got to take my dad to chemo. And I said, you know, would you mind if I prayed for you? And I did. And he took it for what it was, me loving on him the best way I knew how. And I think that's a part of evangelism. Now, I know that person really well, and I know how God's worked in his life since then. I also know he didn't pray the sinner's prayer as he walked out of my office. But that was a form of evangelism. The next thing that we ended up doing that's worked really well, and it's embarrassing how long it took us to do it, like 10 years before we hired a corporate chaplain. You see, for a long time, David and I really prided ourselves in the fact that we knew our employees and we knew their spouses' names and their kids, and they knew that we were Christian. And so if they were having a problem, they'd come to us. Of course, we're all family. It doesn't work that way. We had decided to end up hiring a corporate chaplain, a guy named Jeff Brown, super guy. And we came to understand that there are a lot of people that were really broken. There are a lot of marriages that were on the rocks. And we were able to continue to pray with employees when they're in trouble, but their ability to confide spiritually in with Jeff about their very serious doubts and where they were allowed us to be able to have a partner in evangelism in the workplace. And I love chaplaincy. We're going to probably talk about that a lot on this podcast. If you think about it, all the major sports teams in the country who want to compete and win have chaplains. And a lot of them aren't owned by Christian owners, but they want the very best from their employees. And they want the best, and they want to give them a real vocational thing to chew on. They want to be able to take care of them financially and their health benefits, and they want to take care of them spiritually because they know that that creates the best work performance. For us, it's a great opportunity for evangelism as well.
That's a great story. I'm gonna go diametrically opposed to that, as far away from the culture of bandwidth as could be. Do you watch the show Billions? No. On Showtime, and either one of you watch it. Well, it's about a hedge fund, and it's I think it's loosely based on Bridgewater, but without the values that Ray Dalio, their founder, tried to kind of put in that culture. But they have a person who's basically a performance coach. And the performance coach is what you just said is exactly what they have on the show Billions with his performance coach, a place for you to share your fears, to share your where you feel like you're inadequate, to talk through issues, to share things from outside of work. It's a really interesting role. Mm-hmm. But without any values, without any faith underneath it, and I bring it up because I've often watched that show and said, wow, if that person had something that was redeeming in that character and in that identity that had faith related to it, you know, what an amazing opportunity. Because I think you're right, Henry. We think that the workplace is this time, you know, that when we walk through the door, we become super people, right? That we don't, we shed all of the things from home, and that we're expected not to carry that into the workplace. It's like, oh, no, you leave your problems at home. Yeah. Well, we all know that that's not real. So I think that's fascinating. I was just going to share one other thing about my wife. One of the teachers in her Sunday school class works at Dropbox. And so she invited Patty over to have lunch with her at Dropbox and new headquarters, the whole thing. And somebody in the Dropbox world is interested in music. So they have a performance space where everybody brings in their instruments and they leave their instruments. And it's kind of like constant music going on. Well, she was giving Patty the tour and, of course, showing off the new facility and says, look at this. This is really cool. And she goes, and she tells my wife, she says, you know, what's really awesome is there's a group that comes together and they do worship music every day. And it's not like anything different because there's a blues group and there's a country group and there's, you know, it's almost like the Spotify genres, you know, so you can sort of browse through and listen to whenever you want to listen. And a group that come together, they're all just employees and they just happen to do worship music. And it's not weird. It's not unaccepted. It's thinking about how do you don't try to bend the river. Try to put the boat on top of the river. And when we think about evangelism in the workplace, you know, it's thinking about those opportunities where, you know, we can authentically share what we believe, like the people who are in that worship band, probably playing five or six songs every day. Anybody who wants to drop in, I'm sure they don't have a sign out front that says, you know, come listen to worship music. It's probably just, you know, this is what we do. Come on in and drop in if the music's excellent and they're showing authentically, you know, their joy and their passion for their craft, it's going to be drawing to other people.
And that's here in Silicon Valley?
And that's at Dropbox headquarters.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, so that's a great point. So I'd love to hear from your guys' perspective, you know, are there any lines basically? So we all know our callings from Scripture and, you know, I'm from the South, right? So not a great sermon unless there's an altar call at the end of it. You know, that's kind of how we finish. And so I'm interested in your experience, you know, is there a line with, you know, so should you put on the sign, you know, this is worship music, come in if you want to or not? You know, how do you discern that in your context? You know, should you hand out Bibles at the corporate retreat? And say, hey, you know, you don't have to read it, but I just wanted to give everybody one of these because it matters to me. Or is that too far? Just how do you guys think about that?
That's a great question.
Go ahead, Henry.
Well, the thought that I've got is that, you know, again, I come everything back down to being guided with gentleness and respect. And I think that this sounds pithy and cliche, but if we're praying for our employees, praying for the workplace, and we ask that God would give us the opportunities, and then we'd be courageous enough to realize them. And we're asking God for wisdom and discernment about what would be too much or what's appropriate. I think that if we train ourselves to listening to God's voice and to seeing the opportunities and are guided by His word in passages like gentleness and respect, that we can't go wrong. You know, so many of the mistakes that we've made at Bandwidth are when we're being willful versus faithful. And there are times when we've been willful and about fundraising, it didn't work out. And there's some times where we've been faithful. There have been times where I've been willful about using my platform to talk about the worldview that I espouse to be correct. And I think with everything else, we just need to be really deep in prayer and asking that God would show us what those opportunities are. And if we see, if we feel that God is clearly telling us to share God's word with people, then we got to go there. But let's not go ahead and pass out Bibles unless we really get a sense that that's where God's leading us.
I think it's right there with any other culture, workplace culture initiative. I don't want to make that sound trite, because evangelism is not trite, but culture is not trite either in building culture. And I think that Rome burned overnight and it wasn't rebuilt overnight. It takes time. It takes consistent and constant actions and behaviors, matching words to establish culture. And it's almost like it's a marathon. It's certainly not a sprint. You know, if it was that easy. And evangelism is the same way. I mean, we all know and may have experienced ourselves that it was the first time that we heard the story of Jesus's love and immediately accepted him and changed right then for the rest of our lives. That happens. I'm not taking that away. But I will say that for most of us, it is a journey. It is a marathon getting to that point where you have seen an example that is consistent, authentic, loving, and you're drawn to either that person or that place, that then your heart is in a place to do it. So I think I'm with you, Henry. I think it comes down to gentleness, respect, authenticity.
Yeah.
Every workplace culture has its own level of how you can be authentic. And the Holy Spirit will move.
So that's a great point. And I hear that a lot, right? I think the idea of a servant leader, you know, just go into your job, do things with excellence every day, and people might ask. I'm really interested. You guys have both been rather successful in your careers and had long stints at certain companies. So you've been able to be a part of some of that marathon that you're talking about, Rusty. Just to pull on that string a little bit, has that actually happened? You know, is that a real thing, or is that something people say so they don't have to be as bold in their faith?
Yeah, it's a real thing. I mean, if I'm running the marathon, I'll tell you, I've stumbled a lot of miles.
Totally.
Yeah. I mean, there have been a lot of really bad miles that you pick yourself up by the grace of God and his mercy and keep moving forward. As Paul says, you know, the race, we run that race with our eyes fixed. But I totally believe it. I totally have seen it where people are impressed by someone else and who they are and how they've treated them, and they want to know why.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, there's a Eugene Peterson quote about faithfulness and obedience in the same direction, and that connotes this, and I guess as longstanding as the other part of his quote, but it's that type of marathon, and it's people see a pattern of behavior over a long time, and that's really, really important. You know, one thing, and just kind of a last thought I've got that comes to mind on this topic of evangelism is that in Silicon Valley and so many other places in America where there's this new entrepreneurial tech scene and there's this vibrancy and it's about innovation and creating things like Calico and longevity and different things like this, there's this perception that we're not to share our faith at all in the workplace. We don't want to come across as being exclusive or offensive or ignorant or naive, all bad things to be if you're talking to people in the work environment, or so it's thought. And yet, my challenge, my encouragement to anybody who's listening to this is that if we don't talk about the most important thing to us in our lives, there's going to be some part of our leadership that's going to won't ring true. You get a lot of people who've been famous entrepreneurs over the year who at their very deepest level really are committed to rehabilitating the supply chain for food or wanting to bring in elegance and simplicity to technology. We need to be able to talk about what is our deepest heart passion, because those that are following us need to see that. So I hope that each listener to this will wrestle and pray with, what does it look like for me to be able to share the reason for the faith I have and share the good news, which is what evangelism is all about. How do I do that? Lord, show me the opportunity. May I be faithful to it when it comes about. May I have the right type of courage. Give me protection. Open up and soften the hearts of those that might hear that message. And help me to do it in a way that's authentic and has integrity to who I am as a person and who we are as a corporate culture.
I think that's a great place to end, Henry. I appreciate that. You know, we've talked before about the idea that a lot of people say that St. Francis said, preach the gospel and use words when necessary. And one, he didn't say that, and I can send you articles on that. Please let me know if you want to if you want to find it. He was an open-air preacher on the side, so read some biographies. Yeah. But I think you hit on a lot of that, right, is being in prayer and hearing what does God want in this situation and that situation, and being a community of prayer with other people at your company, right? If you have a co-founder, if you started a law firm and there's two of you as a named partner, both of you need to be, you know, involved in that. And then you do need to do things excellent and do it well and love people. And that's spreadsheets to loving people, you know, doing both of those excellent. And then be ready to share the hope. You know, don't hide it. When the opportunity arises, be there and be ready. And that's what God calls us to do, right? Is plant seeds. In 1 Corinthians, he says, we just water and plant seeds, and he makes things grow. And so, you know, that's our task in evangelism is just to continue to plant seeds.
And I know we're going to wrap this part up. Henry, in what you just said, you used the word faith and faithfulness a bunch of times. That is a fantastic word for people to put in their vocabulary. So when someone says, why do you do what you do? You can talk about, you know, well, I'm excited about the mission, and I've got this product that I'm working on, and a problem I'm trying to solve. And, you know, and I'm trying to be faithful. And what, you're trying to be faithful? Well, faithful to what? Well, you know, I have a faith in God. So, you know, what keeps you busy? Well, you know, lots of things keep me busy. You know, I try to work out. I try to take care of my family. I work a lot. I try to tend to my faith. Your faith? Well, what do you mean your faith? Well, you know, I'm a follower of Jesus. I read my Bible. I pray. I go to church. I do that. I mean, that word faith is a strong word. It's not the watered down word of I'm spiritual, right? Yeah. It's got power to it. You know, we're called to be faithful, and so we can use that word faith, and it's an opening door, and it's not a threatening word. It's actually not a threatening word at all. I give this presentation about, are you living or building your life as a platform or an app? And I always make one of the platform aspects faith. Right there with all of the other things that you would imagine would be the platform type of characteristics that you would want. I always put it there. I don't spend a ton of time talking about it. I just have it right there that a faith is an important thing. And, you know, to your question earlier, William, did those things work? Yeah. People come up to you afterwards and they go, you know, I really, really appreciate you saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know what, I've been struggling with a way to think about that, but my faith is a part of my platform. It's a part of my foundation, and I can express that. So very powerful word, hard sometimes to use, but also sometimes easy to use.
And Rusty was huge on our branding department, so faith-driven entrepreneur also comes from that. So we picked that word intentionally.
There you go.
Well, thanks so much, guys. This has been a fantastic conversation on a topic that is very complex. I think none of us would venture to say we have all the answers on this topic, but this has been really fascinating. Thanks so much for sharing your experience, and let us know, as always, if you have any comments or questions or stories of how this has worked in your context. We would love to hear stories and to share those stories with other people of things that God has done with evangelism in the workplace.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Faith Driven Entrepreneur podcast. Please go to faithdrivenentrepreneur.org and let us know if you have any questions, any of those tough ones that you'd like us to tackle. If you have any videos, articles, sermons, or podcasts that have been helpful to you on your journey, we'd love to see them too. Just send them our way. Lastly, if this podcast has been an encouragement to you in any way, we'd appreciate you commenting, sharing it with others, and subscribing. This podcast would not be possible without help from many of our friends. Music by Carl Cadwell. You can see more of his work at summerdregs.com. Audio by Richard Barley of Cornerstone Church in San Francisco. And editing by Johnny Shue.